Welcome to Scripture Adventures, where we seek the wisdom of God like silver and search for it like hidden treasure. This is for the woman running on caffeine and prayer, the one who loves her people but also fantasizes about a silent hotel room. This episode offers a lighthearted yet honest look at spiritual fatigue, emotional burnout, and how Scripture meets us in our weakness, not with shame, but with rest, grace, and strength for the next breath. It's summer in Texas. The heat is aggressive. The fridge is always empty. Someone's always home. And even the dog looks like she's questioning her will to live. If you've ever said, "I love my people, but..." Sister, this one's for you. Today, we're talking about what it looks like to follow Jesus when you're tired. And I don't mean that gentle yawn and stretch kind of tired. I mean the kind of tired where your soul honestly needs a nap. Jesus understands tiredness, weariness, and the need for rest. We have to start by normalizing fatigue. You see, fatigue is not failure, it's human. And even Jesus experienced it. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we see the disciples all acknowledge Jesus's need for rest. Each one shares about the account of Jesus sleeping on the stern of the boat as the great storm comes about. Jesus's fatigue in these parts of Scripture point to his true humanity. He was tired. In Mark 6:31, Jesus invites the disciples to come away to rest after they had been away completing their missions and teaching. You see, in this account, we see that Jesus acknowledges that ministry work is hard work and it can be tiresome. And what we find is that he protects us from our exhaustion. And then in John 4:6, Jesus reminds us just how human he was. He felt the physical pains and aches of ministry and everyday life as he journeyed from town to town. As he seeks physical rest at Jacob's well, he also provides spiritual rest to the Samaritan woman. He's reminding us that when we seek him, we have access to living water and will thirst no more, not just physically, but spiritually as well. Rest and refreshment is found in Jesus. What we see in this verse, in these verses, is that Jesus wasn't sprinting through his days. He sat down. He made space to rest before ministering. And spiritual impact does not require constant motion. If Jesus needed rest from ministry and people, you're allowed to need a break from laundry, grocery runs, ministry, your to-do list, and even group texts. What spiritual fatigue feels like. You open up your Bible and read the same verse four times. You're praying, but it sounds more like sighing. You can't stay focused as you're trying to talk to God. You feel like you should be doing more, believing more, or being more. I want to look at a few places in Scripture where this type of fatigue has been experienced. And we're going to first start by looking at a weary David. In 2 Samuel 21:15 through 22, we see David express his exhaustion from being at war again. We see that these verses say that he grew weary. And I'm sure some of you can relate. When you're battling one attack after another, and it seems like you're in the wave pool at the water park, where you just can't even get your footing, physical, mental, and spiritual exhaustion are real. And even the one after God's own hurt experienced it. Then fearful Elijah. In 1 Kings 19, we see the account of Elijah's response to Queen Jezebel's threats. When we meet pushback and opposition in our calling, or even in our own homes, it's easy to cry out, "It is enough," like Elijah did. But in this account, we are reminded that Elijah didn't move to the wilderness by the prompting of God like he had in the past. He moved to the wilderness out of his own fear and angst. What I love about this story is that God doesn't leave us in our messes. We see him send an angel to feed and nourish Elijah for the journey he is calling him to complete. and then discouraged Naomi. In Ruth 1, 12 through 13, we find Naomi full of discouragement and bitterness, rightfully so after so much loss. Her grief had to be overwhelming. What we learn here is that when we can't see past the pain and struggle in front of us, we often mistake our circumstances for God's punishment. And then let's be reminded, Jesus sent us the Holy Spirit to be our advocate, our comforter, and we also have Jesus as our healer and savior. Let's look at Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Jesus promises that if we come to him, a personal invitation to all who labor and are heavy burden, that he will give us rest. It is in his gentleness and humble nature, being lowly at heart, that we find rest for our souls, and that it's found in him for both physical and eternal well-being. In 2 Corinthians 12, 9, Paul reminds us that God has promised that his grace is all we need, and reminds us that it is in our weakness that God's power works best. Sister, I want you to hear me on this. God isn't disappointed by your weakness. He's present in it. So how do we follow Jesus when we're exhausted? Simple, real, grace-filled steps are coming your way. First, shift from performance to presence. Don't aim for long, quiet time, but instead for honest moments. Just like we saw in Luke 10, 42, when Jesus explains to Martha that only one thing is necessary. Sometimes the only thing we can do is shift from that performance to presence and just sit at the feet of the Messiah. Second, keep the word close, even if it's small. Put a verse on your mirror or your fridge or somewhere in your car. Get audio Bibles while folding your towels or driving in the car. Listen to the word of God. Summer rhythms can be scattered, so go light, but stay connected. And third, let community carry you. We see in Galatians 6, 2 that we're called to share each other's burdens. And that's actually how we imitate Christ. You know, you can text a friend and say, I'm tired, pray for me. Even Jesus didn't do ministry alone. Fourth, worship in the chaos. Singing in the car, singing while folding laundry, while you're cooking, while you're working out. Maybe if you're in a public gym or even working at your desk. If you don't like your voice, crank up the podcast and sing along with your favorite artist. It's not about a polished worship. It's about real worship. Okay, for the mom who's done. This is to the one who says, I have not been alone in my house since Memorial Day. Girl, God sees you. To the one who's reheating coffee 3 times and calling it self-care, you're not doing this in your own strength. And to the wife that is planning every single meal, tending to the house, and making sure you show your family love in the mundane, God longs to fill your cup too. Your faithfulness in the mundane is seen. Your spiritual exhaustion doesn't make you less love. It makes you a perfect candidate for grace. So as we close today, if this episode reminded you that you're not failing, that you're just human, would you share it with a friend who might need the same reminder? And if you're feeling brave, go sit in your car alone for 10 minutes. I won't judge. I'll see you next time on Scripture Adventures.